Good morning. It is good to see everyone that is here. We're very thankful for your presence. We're thankful for the presence of those who have been away and have had a safe trip and returned back to be with us. And we're thankful for everyone that has stuck it out through the long winter and are trying to patiently wait for spring. Hopefully it's right around the corner. And we can just look at all the beauty of God's creation, and we can see the way that He has done things for us, our safety throughout this winter, and it should help us keep in mind our service to Him. You know, anyone who has welcomed or submitted themselves to the technology of the 20th and 21st century understands the idea of needing an upgrade. Now, there are many who have chosen to avoid many of the technologies of the 20th and 21st century. But, you know, you can understand even with that there comes a point in time where something needs to be cast aside and something new and better bought. You look at the cars that you have, as much as some might would still love to have that 45 Ford or Chevy, you know, they realize that, you know, there's certain things about that just would not be suitable in the world that we live in because things have moved on. You know, especially when you look at the gas prices, you wouldn't want to be driving around something like that you're used to filling up for, what, a nickel, a gallon or maybe 75 cents a gallon, and then now you're paying $2.25 or $2.69 a gallon. I saw a picture last night and it threw me off. But as we look at these things, we understand the need to upgrade. We understand the need to get something better. Now, some carry it to the furthest extreme where they're always, if something new comes out, they instantly go out and get it. They've got to have the newest, the best, the fastest, things of that nature. And, you know, in the physical world, that's not necessary for us to always have the newest, the best, and the fastest. We can usually get by with things that aren't the newest. But, you know, we understand the idea of upgrading. You know, our computers, especially, you know, after a certain period of time, they will update themselves if you have them set up to do a regular update. Windows will update itself so that, you know, it keeps up with the latest things that are going on in the world and any problems that are discovered with the Windows program, they try to correct that. And unfortunately, many times it seems like they just create more problems whenever they do things of that nature. But there's this constant updating so that things will be better, so that things will run smoother. You know, you upgrade the memory in your computer so that it'll run faster. I was messing around with the computer that my mother-in-law had, and I was wondering, why in the world is this thing running so slow? I didn't remember it being this slow, and then I noticed it had hardly any memory in it whatsoever. Well, that explains it. And we wish that we could upgrade our memory in our mind as easily as you can upgrade the memory in the computer, that you could just take a chip, drop it in there, and instantly you remember things better and you focus better. Upgrades are a wonderful thing. When we think of our lives spiritually, shouldn't we be those who are constantly striving to upgrade our lives spiritually? That we're striving to be the best Christian that we could be, that we're striving to do the best that we can. You know, it seems that some, they just get stuck with something and they just allow themselves to remain in a rut and just slowly becoming outdated, slowly becoming not the Christian that they should be at this point in time. You know, A.W. Tozer wrote in Christianity Today, he said, "Think about people who find themselves in religious ruts. They discover a number of things about themselves. They will find that they are getting older but are not getting any holier. Time is their enemy, not their friend. The time they trusted and looked to is betraying them, for they often say to themselves, 'The passing of time will help me. I know some good old saints, so as I get older, I'll get holier and better. Time will help me, purify me, and revive me.' They said that the year before last, and they were not helped any last year. Time betrayed them. They were not any better last year than they had been the year before." How many people do you know, or maybe you find yourself in this, you looked at brother so-and-so, and oh, he's so knowledgeable in the Scriptures. I'm sure that by the time I'm his age, I'll be just as knowledgeable in the Scriptures. And we think that time is the only key to that. That if we go to church regularly, if we do certain things regularly, then this will just automatically happen. And we reach a point in our lives where we realize we're not what we need to be. We haven't received the proper upgrades so that we can become the Christian that we thought we should be by now. And that's what we want to talk about this morning and on into this evening. We want to look at some ways, some things that maybe we need to focus on that we might become the Christian that God wants us to be. That we won't continue to just sit, sit on the seat of do nothing and whittle on the stick of do less. And that's what many Christians have been doing for a long time. They've been sitting in their pew, letting the preacher preach to them, and they've let a few things soak in, but they haven't truly been studying the Bible for themselves and making the application that they need so that they would become the strong Christians that God wants us to be. And so as we look at this lesson today, we want to look at these things and ask ourselves, do we need to be revived in our service? Do we need to be brought to a greater service? Do we need to increase in certain things? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 85 and verse 6, he says, "Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" There's a great need for revival in the church today. We get so caught up in the complacency of this world. You know, things are going along. The building is paid for. The utilities are paid for. Things are going pretty well. You know, we're doing okay. And we get caught up in that. And we just ride that wave of okay and realize and don't realize that it's going to crash. It's going to crash horribly on the beach and we're not going to find ourselves where we thought we needed to be. We need to grow in our service to God. And so I want to suggest some ways that perhaps we can improve our spiritual lives. And the first thing we want to note is the need for spiritual mindedness. You know, when you think about spiritual mindedness, what do you think of when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think of? For many, it's coffee. Breakfast. I'm hungry. I need to wake up. What do you think of as you go throughout the day? There are so many things that we have running through our mind. When you want to strike up a conversation with someone, what do you use to strike up the conversation? The weather or sports, things of that nature. And well, I'm not saying that it's wrong to use things such as this, but the point that I'm trying to make is it seems that we are not as spiritually minded as we might would like to think that we are. It seems oftentimes that the Bible is some of the last things that comes out of our mouth. Or if the Bible is the first thing that comes out of our mouth, it's a misunderstanding of the Bible. There's a great danger in that too. That you have a desire to speak the Word of God, but you really don't know it as well as you should. And every year you go through and go, I'm going to learn the Bible more. I'm going to be able to talk to others more. And we continue to find ourselves in this, well, I just don't know as much as I wish I did. You see, we should enrich our minds with spiritual thinking, with things that we should be thinking upon, dwelling upon. In Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 8, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church there in Philippi, he gives some very specific instructions to them in how they are to focus their mind. I've used this in the bulletin, in the heading from the very first bulletin that I produced in Bossier City, Louisiana. Every bulletin I've used this because that's the focus of the bulletin, the things that we read of here in this verse. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Focus your life on the things that are pure and of good repute, things that will help you in your service to God. But let's pause for just a moment. What do we focus our life on? You know, when we think about our children, what do they have their focus on? You know, it amazes me the knowledge that some teenagers have for various things and the lack of knowledge that they have for the Bible. You can talk to some about sports and they can name off every sports team there is, professional. They can name off the majority of the colleges. They can tell you who's in the top five, who's number one in the nation. They can tell you who the number one kicker is. They can go over to basketball, baseball. It doesn't matter. They follow it all. Hockey, they can tell you everything there is to know about every major team. And their special teams, the ones that they really follow in this area, generally the Steelers and the Penguins and for the diehards, I guess the Pirates. They know all about them. Now, I think back to my grandmother, my mom's mom. She was a big Atlanta Braves fan. And she was in very poor health, so she couldn't get out much. And so that was pretty much what she had to do. She knew the Braves, and she kept just notebooks of stats on the Braves. And this would not be what you expect from a tiny little woman that, you know, you just don't expect them to be this huge Braves fan. But the only games that she missed were the ones that fell on Wednesday evening or Sundays. But you can think in your own life, what do you have a focus on? What is your mind generally running on? What do you generally think of? And as we note there again in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we need to be retraining our mind. We need to be upgrading our mind so that we focus on these things that are pure, true, honorable, right, lovely, of good report, excellent, and worthy of praise. You know, when we think about it, one of the reasons why the world was destroyed during the days of Noah was because the thoughts and intents of their heart were only evil continually. Now, I use this passage of Scripture to say, well, you know, we're not as bad as in the days of Noah because we've got more than 8 people who are striving to serve the Lord today. But, you know, when you look at the world, and even when you look at those who claim to be Christians, the thoughts and intents of their heart, while they may not be evil, they're not exactly focused on God. You know, when they come together on Sunday, they're not focused on the sermon. They're not focused on the Lord's sacrifice and the memorial that we take in that. They're focused on, well, in another hour we're going to be out of here and I can go on and get on with my life. They're focused on, well, I'll give this day to the Lord and then the rest of the week is mine. I believe we could say that while our mind may not be focused on evil continually, it is not focused on the Lord as much as it should be. We've got to, as Paul brings out in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, he says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we talked about this in last week or the week before. You know, these are some pretty severe terms that Paul is using. We're taking these things captive. We're removing them from the freedom that they're running around in our mind. We're taking them captive, bringing them under control. Everything that's raised up against the knowledge of God. And I believe we would do well to focus more on being spiritual minded. We've got to, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, we need to be setting our mind on things that are above. What's our mind generally focused on? Well, our favorite television show, our favorite computer website, internet website. You know, you look at some people and they are just way too focused on certain things. But Paul says there in Colossians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 1, he says, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. As Christians, we need to keep in mind we are nothing more than sojourners here. That this is just a life that we're passing through. This is just a temporary home for us. And we need to be looking towards that eternal home, that which is waiting for us. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19, there in verse 14, we need to meditate on the Word of God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We would do well to meditate more upon God's Word, to allow these things to truly become a part of our lives. But you know, one way that we can become more spiritually minded is by storing more Scripture in our minds, in our hearts. You know, it used to be said about the Lord's church that even people in the world, they'd say, well, those people that go to the Church of Christ, they're just walking Bibles. They can quote the Scripture, whatever you're wanting to know. If you want to know something about the Bible, you just go ask one of them. And it seems nowadays that Christians are walking telephone people for their preacher. Well, I don't know. Let me call my preacher and see what he has to say about that. It just seems to me that it's more than I remember as a child, more than I ever remember my father talking about. Because I'll be sitting there on Facebook, or I'll be sitting there in the chair watching television, or I'll be sitting there studying, whatever, and phone calls. Where's this in the Bible? And I want to help them, and I do help them, but I sit there and go, you know, you're almost as old as me. You've had just as much time to read and study the Bible as I have. You know, you've got a Bible, right? I want to say, you've got a concordance, don't you? Can't you study to show yourself to be approved? But I don't want to hurt their feelings. I want to help them during this period of time. And so I answer the questions. And I enjoy answering questions. I really do. But it bothers me when the same people continue to ask the same questions and never seem to grow. The problem is they're not allowing the Word of God to really set up shop in their mind. They're not storing up the Scripture in their mind. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 in answer to Satan, when he said, "Why don't you command these stones to become bread?" And remember, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days there in the wilderness. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You know, when you think about that, how often do you go a day without a meal? Or two meals? Or three meals? Or maybe you're kind of like a hobbit and you begin at breakfast and it's just a continuous running of meals throughout the day. What do you do if you don't eat? Well, you go find something to eat, right? Jesus is saying that man is not to live by bread alone. That, in other words, it's not just food that causes us to live. We need to be focused on the Word of God to where when we miss the Word of God a day, it really affects us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15, there in verse 4, that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Why are so many Christians living without hope? Because they don't understand the Word of God. They haven't really read His Word. They don't allow it to sink into their life. They don't allow it to really provide guidance in their life. And so every little thing worries them to death. They get so focused on the things of this world and they fail to realize what the Scripture is trying to teach them. I mean, what do we learn from Abraham? Abraham's there in the land of Ur. God says, "Get up and you go to a place where I'm going to show you, away from your family." What does Abraham do? He gets up and he goes. And we follow Abraham through his life there in the book of Genesis. And we see all these things, all these promises that God gives to him. And many of those promises he never sees revealed. But he believes in the promises of God because of the things that God has done for him. The promises that God has given him and kept. We can learn from the Old Testament. We can learn from the New Testament. Diligent Bible study seems to be a rather rare commodity today. It seems that with many Christians, their Bible study exists Sunday morning before the Sunday morning Bible class, or Wednesday evening before the Wednesday evening Bible class, or maybe Wednesday afternoon. Let's sit down and let's run through the answers on the questions. And you know, when you're a teacher, you can really look out and you can see those that have done their Bible lessons, and those who have studied their Bible lessons. There's a big difference. My parents made the mistake of asking me, "Have you done your Bible lesson?" And I could go, "Yeah, I've done my Bible lesson. I answered every question." But we used the walking with God and the truth in life where you just had to read those three or four paragraphs and then all the questions were taken out of that. There was no opening your Bible and study. There was no study involved. It was just read and answer. And that's the way many adults are. They continue to do that on into their adult life. They read the passages that are necessary and they answer the questions so they can say that they have them answered, but there's no real study. Because when the teacher asks additional questions, trying to get people to think a little bit, it's like, "Well, I don't know what in the world he's talking about there. I don't understand where he's going with this. I didn't make that application." We need to be devoting. Remember, I'm saying we need to be giving more of our time to reading and studying from the Word of God. It will make us stronger as a Christian. It will make us stronger as a congregation. It will make us stronger as we have to face the difficulties before us. We need to all determine and resolve to store our minds with the words of God. If you would, turn with me in the book of Psalms there in the first Psalm. Psalm 1, let's begin reading there in verse 1. As the psalmist writes these things, we find all these things that have been gathered together for us. Great wisdom throughout the book of Psalms, and the majority of Psalms is focusing on a love of God's Word. And look at what it starts out there with the first Psalm. He says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Note what's said about him. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now you just pause for a second. If you find yourself asking more questions than you're answering, then maybe you need to refocus your studies. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't go to your preacher or to a brother or sister in Christ that you have a great appreciation for and you believe that they have a good knowledge of the Scriptures. I'm not saying don't go ask, because they want to answer your questions. They want to help you. But as the writer of Hebrews says, there comes a time when you ought to be a teacher rather than needing to be taught. And too many Christians remain in that needing to be taught all the way through their lives spiritually. They never store up Scriptures in their mind. Now, when I say store up Scriptures in mind, I'm not saying you have to have just this instant recall of every verse word for word. Some people don't have that ability. Some of us don't have the ability to know exactly every verse and to be able to quote it verbatim. And I see a danger in quoting, because sometimes you misquote things, don't we? But you know what? If you know where it is, if you put the Word of God so much in your mind that you know that the Apostle Paul spoke of this in the letter to the church in Corinth, and it's in the first letter, and it's about the middle of the letter, then you can get to it pretty quick. You can read it, and you can tell somebody about it. Know the Bible. Know it as well as you can. Become more spiritually minded. Store up in your mind the Word of God. And do it properly, too. The Bible can be an intriguing and challenging work. It can be one that can really be difficult at times, but it holds great blessings if we discern properly. The story is told of a man who had three sons, and he wanted to test their ability to discern truth and to properly discern. And so he gave each of them a piece of an apple with a rotten spot on it, and the first one ate the entire thing, rotten spot and all. The second one, when he saw the rotten spot, he just threw away the whole apple. And the third one, he pulled out his pocket knife, he cut out the bad spot and ate the rest of the apple, all that was good. And what the man was trying to teach me is that's the way people are with truth. Some will just accept everything that's thrown at them, the good and the bad. Others, because of a little bit of bad, they throw out all of the good. And then others, they sit and they sift through. And they see that which is good and that which is bad, and they discard the bad and they focus on the good. Now, which are you in your study of the Word of God? Which are you in your listening to lessons? Do you just one little thing kind of turns you off and you just throw out the whole thing? Or do you allow yourself to sift through and to find the good that is there for you? Now, the last thing I want to talk about this morning is one that, I think as Paul told the church in Thessalonica, you have no need for me to teach you a love for the brethren. I think this congregation has a great love for its brothers and sisters in Christ. I think that's evident in the care and concern that they show for one another. But as Paul told the church there in Thessalonica, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, there in verse 12, he says, "May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another." In other words, there's always room for improvement, is there not? Too many times, too many churches sit back and go, "Well, we love each other, we don't have any problems, we're a great congregation." And they just kind of sit and they coast in that level of love that they have for one another, failing to see what Paul says. I don't care where you are, there's always room to increase. I don't care where you are as a child of God and where you are in your love for your brethren, there's always room to grow. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 said, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love for the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." Now, we do have love for one another, but can we honestly say that it's a fervent love? You see, there's always need and room for improvement. Peter says again in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Now, a lot have tried to take that passage of Scripture and say that, well, we're to love each other so much that we overlook one another's sins. And that's not at all what Peter is saying. He's not saying that we cover it up as in we sweep it under the rug. He's saying that we work with one another, and our love for one another is so great that we make the corrections that are necessary, that our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. But that takes love. Love in how we approach the erring brother. Love in how the erring brother or sister reacts to those that are approaching. It takes love, a fervent love. And I believe we can all say that we can increase in our love for one another. As we've noted in previous lessons, love is to be the factor that the world can see and know that we are His disciples. That's what Jesus said there in John chapter 13, that by this all men will know that you're My disciples if you have love one for another. We can all increase in our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can all increase in storing up Scripture in our mind and allowing it to really become that major part of our life. We need to be looking towards our children, our grandchildren. Because in this world, there are so many things that they can fill their minds with. You know, I had friends in high school that, and some friends since then, that, you know, you can give any word or a couple of words from a song and they can tell you who wrote it, when they recorded it. Some of them can even tell you which entertainment network they were with and exactly what was on the front of the CD, what songs were on there. And others can quote entire movies. Or maybe they like a particular director and they know all about the movies that director makes. What we fail to realize is our children, while it seems funny that they know all these things, they're filling up their mind with absolute ridiculous, useless knowledge. This knowledge will not help them in anything spiritually. Now, if they go into the movie field and they know all about movies, it might help them in that. But, you know, that's just increasing the amount of sin that they're going to be facing, the temptations that they're going to have to face. And if they don't have a good store of the Word of God, if they've been storing up in their mind all the things of this world, whether it be Harry Potter in the world of that, or Tolkien in his world of Middle Earth, or Twilight in the world of vampires, you know, all these things are out in the world. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to read some of these things and to enjoy some of these things, but I'm afraid we store up too much in our mind and we leave no room for the Word of God. And we have so much love for the world and the things of the world that we don't have enough room in our heart, in our lives, to show our love for the brethren. And so we need to be upgrading our lives from this worldly perspective that we have and returning our focus to the Lord. You know, the life of a Christian is to be one of constant upgrade, isn't it? Always increasing and abounding in the work of the Lord. Always growing as a child of God. We're to be working in our lives so that we are ready for that final upgrade. And are you ready? You know, the true servant of Jesus, he's not worried about when the Lord's coming because he's ready today. Perhaps you can note in your life that you're not as ready as you should be, that you've not focused your life on service to God, that you're not storing up His Word in your heart, you're not showing the love that you're to have for your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you're not as spiritually minded as you should be. Then today is your day to turn once again to Him. Is there a stranger at the door? Or have you let Him in and one day kind of pushed Him out the back door? Then allow the Lord to enter again, once again, as we sing.